Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. This morning, I'm Michelle Berquist, your host, and with me is our monthly host, Cecile Bareil, who is also our leading lady this morning, by the way. And I want to introduce everyone to Cecile Bareil, who is the founder and president of RMAHR, a consulting firm. And this morning, Cecile, are you with us?
I am with you.
Well, I appreciate that. We have some good listeners this morning on a Monday morning in Carlsbad, California. But welcome to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I know we're shifting gears a little bit, but I am excited to kind of just talk to you a little bit about the services that you provide to companies and maybe some of the things that you're seeing from the HR side of companies and kind of trends and things like that. So just kind of quickly, I know lots of people and I think lots of our listeners who are listening in are kind of thinking, you know, we keep hearing on the media, is the economy coming back? It's like companies are holding their cash. Are you finding that as you kind of work with clients and things that are companies, are you finding people are starting to hire again? And what are some of the trends that you see as we pull ourselves out of this, what we call the economic recovery? What are you seeing right now with your services and what you do?
Well, actually, yes, to answer your question, the economy is really hurting a lot of people right now. They're really kind of very nervous, particularly the smaller businesses, who are saying, are we going to be able to continue to keep our doors open? And at the same time, they're saying, we need some help in how do we do this? How do we continue? There's so many things going on, and it's a great question that you ask because there's so many directions. And you know what? On this past Monday, I was interviewed by HR Magazine, which is the National SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management. It's their national magazine. And the topic I was asked to kind of talk about was what's going on with small businesses today or what's going on in the economy, where there's some major issues. And the number one response to that is employee wage fraud, where there's so many issues coming up right now where the lower-level workers, your hourly employees, female employees are being discriminated against by employers and I don't know that there are any employers here in California or San Diego, but there's a lot of issues right now because it's becoming kind of the number one problem in the workplace.
And when you say that, what do you mean? I mean, what are employers doing? That's where you kind of stopped
sure.
me cold there. It's like, wow, what did you hear about or read that's telling you there's some issues going on with employer fraud? Employer or employee?
Sure. It's against employees. And I did a lot of research because when I found out, like 2 days before they were going to interview me, I found out about it. I kind of did some research to make sure I was on top of what's happening. But the problem is right now is employers are really not paying, and I'm not saying all of them, but they're not paying their lower wage employees either. And it's kind of been something that's been going on for years where lower level employees who are hourly are not necessarily being paid their hourly rate or at their hourly rate. Many times they're not being paid overtime. And so because they're lower-level employees, they're afraid to complain because they're afraid of, guess what? If I complain, I'll get fired. And there's some really major companies that are doing it, and the only reason I – well, should I say who the companies are? Well, it's already written out who some of these companies are that are not paying their employees as they should. And it's at the point already where $2.9 billion are not being paid out to employees.
Now, I have to say, this leads me down the path, and it's like I'm going to make a comment because I appreciate you not saying the companies. You know, we want to be politically correct on our show. And I mean, this is a horrible trend. I'm kind of, you know, for so many of our listeners that are either HR directors or they work at companies, I mean, is this conscious companies are doing that? Because I'm really shocked to hear this, you know, that this is something that is happening.
Yes. They're consciously doing this from all the research that's come about and wanting to keep the money in their own coffers. And again, it's a type of discrimination. There's no doubt about it. And although I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the majority of the people, the employees who are that in that lower range and are being discriminated against is females. And
okay,
I can
now
share
it's like
a story.
I've gone down a bad path.
Yeah.
This is a hard one.
Well,
I mean, this can be a big trend. This has to be very select companies. I can't imagine this is a huge trend that's happening with employers or companies. I mean, this is an article that you read about that said that this is happening.
This is actually research I've done on it, more than just articles, so I know it's true. And it's been happening for quite some time, and apparently HR Magazine wanted to talk about it to see, and it's coming out in July. And I'm not the only person they were interviewing. They were interviewing other HR professionals, I'm sure. And so this is something that is really impacting the economy, and I don't know totally what all those numbers are, but it is impacting them as a whole. And when you think about how much money is not being given to that lower level, and if you remember, before you ask me the next question, you remember a couple of months ago when we interviewed Kim Bobo, and she had that Interfaith Justice Workers. That's the kind of thing she's helping and working toward trying to get employers to stop all this behavior. And she's been before the legislation in Washington and doing a lot of things because it's such a major issue.
And I'm going to just tell you straight out from my side. I mean, I know, you know, you and our colleagues and whatnot, it's like I find that absolutely, I just can't believe that. I'm sorry. It's like that would be that relevant and that trending that would happen by employers and big companies to do that. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you're a wage earner, if you are a woman in business, you know, obviously it's like whatever was your agreed upon rate. I mean, from the research,
well,
explain
this
more. I'm getting fired up about this because I know we have listeners that will get pretty concerned, and I want to make sure we're not spouting out something that's a small percentage versus something that is absolutely
true
and happening. Well, then
absolutely.
I'm going to need to see some facts because I don't buy it.
And this is not – I'm not talking about contract business workers. I'm talking about employees who are on hourly rates. So as far as – and I don't know what to tell you other than this is what's going on. If you Google anything, if you go into and following research – it is a reality. And
no, but that doesn't make sense.
Cecile, wait, back up,
because this is important.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you're saying you've done research on it, so I'm gonna ask you to back up what you're saying. It's like, well, when you say that employees are being not paid, and especially female workers, then help me understand: are they, you know, are companies leaving out amount of money? Are they cheating them on what they're being paid hourly? I mean, do these obviously? So if I'm an employee and I'm working for someone, there's an agreed upon rate that I know I should be compensated for. So what very specifically is happening that you're saying is happening among many different companies? Because I know this is going to resonate some alarm, and I want to make sure we're sharing facts and statistics and good research as opposed to making an opinion. So help me.
Okay, well, this is definitely more than opinion. And what I was, as you were talking, I wanted to Google something up for you because there are, in fact, I'm trying to pull out the conversation that I had with them, and I want to be able to do that quickly. Hold on here, and I'll. But it is something that has been going on. When I talked, when I was saying they're not getting paid, for example, and I can give you some examples. I had to deal with one of the examples of that, where there was a company that was here locally that at the time, they're not here any longer, but they were coming from another country, and they were doing, they were like an assembly line. They were making tools and stuff for a company. And I was brought in to actually do an HR audit. And this was about 4 years ago. And I was brought in to do an HR audit, and so they wanted me to interview all of the employees, and there were about 40 employees, to see how things were going. And this was coming. It was an Asian company that was here in the United States and here in San Diego area. And so I did exactly that. They had Vietnamese employees. They had Japanese employees. They had Mexican employees, Hispanic, whatever you want to say. And so I talked to all of them. And for those who didn't speak a lot of English, I do know Spanish, but I also had made sure someone was there that could interpret to make sure I was understanding. And there were a lot of complaints. And part of it had to do with them not getting the money that they were told they were to get.
Okay, and I'll just stop there for a minute.
Okay.
So I want to come back. So when people say that, you know, they're, you know, I want to get specific. So when they say they aren't getting what they should be getting, does that mean that they were promised a certain hourly wage, and then when they get their paycheck, they're not getting it? Are they not getting the amount of hours they're submitting? I mean, what specifically are they not getting that they're saying they should have gotten?
Okay. They were not getting the hourly rate that was on the books because I did an audit. So they were not getting the hourly rate, and they were told they had to do other things past their normal hours that they that was going to, say, go into, quote-unquote, kind of a – what's the word I'm looking for? It was to be laid aside for them. And so – and it was actually – it was back during all those fires that we were having. And some of them lived very close to the fires. And so as part of that, they were saying, well, they were going to hold the money, and this is what the company was telling them, they were going to hold the money aside for them in case they needed it later to take care of anything that might have happened in their homes. Okay. Now, this may sound weird. It was not me saying this. It's what I was being told. So I went to the employer, and they said, well, we are laying money aside. I said, but you cannot do that. If they're working X amount of hours, say $9 an hour, you have to pay them. And they said, no, we don't. You know, and I said, but you do. And they were also telling their female employees, who happened to be Hispanic, that they had to clean the bathrooms because they didn't want to bring in somebody. And this was not their job description, and this was not a part of anything they were to do, and they were not going to get paid for that. And,
well,
of course,
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and you can't do that. That was not their jobs to do that. And, of course, they were not being paid to do it. And so, and they were the only ones who were being required. Nobody else was being required to do that. And that's illegal. You can't do that. So
and
I went
that
back
part I
and
get. I think what I I mean, this is very specific, and I appreciate you being that specific without sharing the company, but the thing I want to make sure we're not raising an alarm for is that, you know, without statistics or things to back up what we're, I mean, this is good. This is, I mean, I want to go into what should an employee do if they find this is happening, because this is the area mm-hmm. of your services, but I wanted to challenge a bit because I just can't imagine that across the board, companies are finding they can get away with this, number one. Most of the owners mm-hmm. or CEOs I know that we interact with through CWI would be just sure. mortified to hear this, that that's going on with companies. I mean, and again, I'm not saying all or nothing, but I'm saying if it's a trend and if it's something that's happening, then shame on companies, because I'm having a hard time getting my arms around that that's something that's happening regularly, other than maybe specific instances that companies are doing that. You know, that's just shocking
yes,
to me.
No,
so
I guess
I challenge you
and
on that.
Yeah, and they're not the small companies. They're not the medium-sized companies. They're the very big companies. And I won't, again, give a specific name, but it's, some of them are in the fast food areas.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those that are in the hotel areas. That is, and that's where it's happening. And there are other companies. And one of the things, the question that actually I was asked is, what are HR professionals doing as far as if they know this is going on, what should they do? And,
yes, that's a great question,
because,
I mean, do once the HR directors mm-hmm. and people in benefits or compensation know that this is happening, right?
They may know it, or if they don't, then they might take the steps to see if that's what's happening. And my response to that when I was asked that question is that we as HR professionals need to look into things like that to see if that is happening. And there's a risk there, no doubt, but it's something that needs to be done. And if necessary, putting in certain, having the company put in certain ways to stop this from happening.
So let me go down the line here, because, you know, this is interesting that if you are a professional, you know, in HR, and you uncover something like this and you see it happening, it's like, because I know of the services you offer, Cecile, what would you
mm-hmm.
recommend? Because, this is, I mean, this gets under the umbrella of becoming a, you know, not a boat rocker, but, you know, to be the person that has to maybe, you know, raise a flag that this is wrong. I mean, what do you recommend
oh, yeah.
an HR professional do if they see this? Because this is a very tough situation. You're employed by somebody.
It's a very tough situation. And at the time when I was talking about that particular company, I didn't have the courage at that time, and I don't say that happily. I didn't have the courage to take it further based on what they were doing. They immediately fired me. As their contract person, because I was saying those are things they couldn't do, but I didn't have the courage at that time to report it.
Wow.
And at that time, I wasn't totally certain how to report it. And I'm saying that in all honesty because I was wrong not to. And
but you know what?
I haven't had to.
It's a tough spot that all of us get into, where it's, you know, the kind of like, you know, line of ethics, right or wrong, you know, what's our fine
mm-hmm.
line? I mean, as you look on that and you think back on it, do you feel like you made the right decision, even though you stopped providing services to them? I mean, do you feel you should have raised and maybe shared that? I don't know. Where would you go share the information? I mean, what should you do? What would you?
Well, it could be. Yeah, well, as far as, let me answer the last one first. Where would I have shared that? I could have gone to the labor board. I could have gone to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I mean, you know, the Fair Employment Housing, Department of Fair Employment Housing. Those are all state and federal groups, and I didn't do it. If I were to learn about, I mean, you know, be in that kind of a situation again, I would definitely try and take some steps, not try, I would take some steps to change that. And a lot of it has to do with having the courage to come forward. And my courage today is a lot different than it was before. I haven't run into that situation since then. Actually, I had a couple of situations like that, but I haven't run into it since then. But this is something that not only is illegal, and all HR professionals, I'm sure those of you who may be listening in and others, you know what that's about. It's a major risk to do that. There are some agencies like KIMS that I was talking about, Interface Workers, that can help and all. But, you know, it's a tough decision for HR professionals to make. The steps you can take, obviously, are to report it to someone or to talk to the CEO, if you're willing to do that. If you could talk in a way saying that here's what we need to put into place. Because it doesn't have to be saying, look what you guys are doing. It's just saying, you know what, by not paying the workers as we're required to, that can cause some other problems. Let's put in some kind of audit, do some kind of audit or something so we can make sure this doesn't happen.
No, that's a tough spot because I have to share. There's a woman I know that, you know, was a professional in a company, and not saying type of company or anything. I mean, this was a true story here in California that, you know, she rocked the boat and looked at and saw some unethical things going on and, you know, reported it and then was summarily let go, and she was vilified in the community based on her actions. And I think that's the worst fear of anybody who looks at a boat rocker, you know, rocking the boat kind of situation, or if you find something unethical going on, it's really a tough dilemma. And I don't, you know, I wish this was one of those where we had time to open up comments from to our listeners, because I don't know any of us that are, you know, kind of like sacred from not having situations where we think, there's kind of a fine line here that I see going on in a company, and yet, you know, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the suggestions would be, but if you were an employee and it's like you're not getting paid, because I think employees are so much more sophisticated now about knowing what should happen and what shouldn't happen as an employer, you know, when they're being paid, what would you recommend somebody who's an employee as opposed to an HR director do if they feel like they aren't being paid correctly? I mean, do they go to the labor board or where do they go?
Sure, they could go to the labor board. Because when I say the lower waged and the lower paid, many times they're the undocumented workers, and I've dealt with situations like that where somebody was bringing in undocumented workers, and that's illegal. There's no doubt about that. And or sometimes it's immigrants. Sometimes it's, you know, people who try to live off every single dollar they make because they're trying to take care of their families. And when you were talking about, you know, them, we coming forward, like our HR professionals, sometimes we don't know that's what's going on, okay, so that we don't go in that direction. And perhaps what the resolution would be, or the suggestion I might make, is that, you know, we talk with our senior level folks, and because this is a national issue that exists, and talk and say, you know, might we put in some kinds of continual audits or some kind of processes to make sure these things don't happen? And even with small businesses.
Yeah, and I think small business owners, I mean, there are, you know, shortcuts that are taken and stuff like that, but, I mean, just to be at that kind of liability as a company is just dumb and stupid. But, I mean, again, I can understand that probably does go on, but not as an up-and-coming trend of companies. I mean, I'm just, like, literally shocked by this, and I, it's like, that's why I wanted to, go down that path, because I'm just like, that has to be a horrible trend. I just can't imagine that that's the case. But, hey, thanks for bringing up such a controversial subject this morning, which is on, you know, ethical situations in business. It's a tough one. You know, what would you do if you were an employee?
Very,
I know we only have a couple We only have a couple minutes left, and it's like I really want to, you know, also kind of get into, this is the kind of stuff that you do where you talk about how you provide the Asians, you know, to companies through your services. But, you know, what are maybe some of the things that, you know, your company does to help a company alleviate this? You mentioned an audit. What else do you do in your services? I mean, you mentioned, you could write a book on this.
Yeah, I could. Well, yeah, obviously I like to do some kind of an audit so I can at least see where they are, because particularly with small businesses, you know, they don't have a lot of money, many of them that are starting out. And, you know, one of the things I work with them to do is to make sure if they've got someone there, that if they're an employee, then they do have to be paid some kind of a rate, an hourly rate. And in California, $8 an hour is still the rate until, I think, July it goes up to $9. And then in 2016, it goes up to $15. It goes up to to $10. But the key is what they fail to see sometimes with smaller businesses, that they're saying, well, we'll just bring them in on contract. That's fine. You can bring them in on contract, but you can't treat them like they're an employee. You know, you have to come up with some kind of contract. Like when I go in and work with them, I ask, are these employees, are these contract folks? Because there's different things, and you don't give benefits to people who are contractors. But you can give benefits to actual employees. And often with small businesses, and others of you out there who might work with small businesses as consultants, you know this, is you've got to really define very clearly what's an employee and what's a contract worker. And, you know, I often will really sit down with them and say, you need to have certain programs in place, like injury and illness prevention programs. Even if you're only one employee, you have to have it, because that's required by Cal OSHA. And it's helping them to understand, granted, as a small business, you may not have a lot of money going, but you've got to look where the money is being paid, especially if there's employees. And it's something that I spend a lot of time teaching them to understand, because in California, as you know, we have, what, 3.4 million businesses in California, period, small businesses. And, you know, that's just mom and pops and so on. And the key is often they'll say, well, Cecile, you know, I'm under the radar because I'm just a small business. And my response to them is, no, you are the radar, because California doesn't have money and they're going after small businesses too.
Well, and I think
that answers your question.
It does, and it's like, I wish we had more time, because I think you brought up another whole topic, which is the whole idea of the kind of like, you know, minimum wage, living wage, you know, the whole concept behind it.
Yep.
I mean, again, there's a whole conversation on that, because, I mean, who's listening? And for our lovely listeners today, it's like, you know, we've got both employers and we've got folks who are professionals who work for companies. And I think this is a really, boy, talk about a polarizing conversation. Let's go to the living wage conversation next time, because that, I know, is an interesting dilemma. But people want to reach you, for Cecile, for some of the services you offer. How do people reach you? Because I know this is, boy, trepidatious waters that we're talking about. And I've enjoyed it because I think, you know, having the conversation and having the dialogue about what would you do, and we're all put in situations that are just, you know, sometimes very, very questioning in business of, is this right or wrong? Should we or shouldn't we? So how do people reach you for any sort of question on your services and what you do?
Well, my phone number is 619-788-7937, and you can even call me asking me about what I just talked about. And my email address is Cecile, C-E-C-I-L-E, dot Bereal, B as in baby, E-R-E-A-L, at R, M as in Mary, A, H as in Harry, R.com. And I'll be glad to talk to anybody. And you might look for that HR magazine that's going to come out in July with that article.
Well, yeah, I got to calm down now, because it's like, this was a conversation today.
Do.
I'm just like, woo, baby. But, you know, I thank you for your time, because believe it, girl, we're out of time. And I just want to say again, thank you. Yeah, I know. Is there one final little quick thought you want to share with everybody so that we don't have everyone up in arms on this, but just to kind of like, you know, say, hey, one or two final thoughts, and then I'm going to say thank you for your time, and we'll be back again next Monday. But what are one or two quick little things you can share?
Sure. One of the things, what I've talked about, this is called wage fraud and all. Go look it up. Look at some of the research in that, so you can at least understand what's going on. And then whatever work that you do, you know, I'm assuming you all know the laws and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And, you know, it took me a lot of courage to even bring up that topic. I didn't plan to do that. But it's something I have a strong belief in, and I want to make sure this doesn't keep happening.
On that note, girl, we are out of time. I want to thank you for rising on the topic today. So for all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening to Women Leading the Way Radio, and we will be back again next Monday. And we'll try to bring more controversial topics to the table. So, Cecilia, we'll have you again. And on that note,
okay.
Everyone have a great week. Thank you for listening today. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.